Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Some of you know this, something like firsthand, maybe too firsthand, to say about how emergency care is the front line of healthcare. Sometimes necessarily so, maybe other times not necessarily so, but it's fast-paced, right? A lot of pressure in the emergency room, and lives are saved in the emergency room, and that's the good news here. Going to talk with two leaders from Billings Clinic today, and they have spent their careers in the emergency room. Emergency Department Clinical Coordinator Tammy Grewell is with us, and Emergency Services Director Brad Von Bergen also with us today. Lots of questions. I think you'll be educated and even entertained today on Voices of Montana. All right, emergency care, right? What do you know about it? Okay, we'll share some statistics. We'll talk about the importance of it. We'll talk about the finances around it. We'll also talk about healthcare in general today too, because of COVID. A lot of people they're rethinking anyway, or maybe they're just unsure about some things. So I think it's important, and I really appreciate healthcare officials that reach out and want to talk about their industry today. A couple in studio here. Let me welcome Brad Von Bergen, the Director of Emergency Services, Billings Clinic. Good morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for coming in. And it's Tammy Grewell, Clinical Coordinator, Emergency Department.
Good morning. Thanks Good morning. For having us.
So you work with Brad?
I do work with Brad.
What's that like?
It's a lot. I boss him around a lot.
See, Brad, this is how it's going to go, Brad, by the way. Okay.
That's all right. Yeah, every day it's like this.
Yeah, every day it's like this. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being here, too. And I know you guys recently celebrated 50 years in the emergency department. And Brad, you've been there for more than half of those years.
I have. I've been there for over 33 years.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
What's that like?
Hey, a lot has changed. It's funny. A lot is the same, but a lot has changed. And yeah, it's been a great ride.
A lot has changed, and a lot's the same. That's very philosophical. Do you know what he's talking about, Tammy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The technology advancements are huge, but also just the approach to care that we give in the emergency department and the teamwork that we've had has been pretty consistent.
What I suppose it's all a package, right? In terms of people who are really good at tech, people who are really good at the human aspect of it, you know, people who are really good at the financial aspect of it all. As the director of that department, how's it all come together so that you have got confidence that 24/7, 365, that emergency department is serving the people like you need them to?
Yeah, it's really amazing. First, it all starts with hiring and training the right people. We find their gifts and their strengths, and we are very fortunate to have folks that are technologically really great. We have great support staff, and then the training that we do to get people that our staff, our registered nurses, our patient care techs, our paramedics, our physicians all aligned to give that care when a patient comes in.
What's Tammy's gift?
Bossing me around.
put him right on the spot, Tammy. He just fired one right back at you.
She's great at it.
Yeah. Well, tell me why that's important, Tammy. Tell me why there needs to be direction like that in an emergency department.
Oh, you got to keep everybody on the same goals, I say, with the direction. I don't know. It's hard to say we're not really bossing people. I don't look at it that way. I think it's important to have leaders that help you set processes and work as a team to get to the final goal,
yeah,
which is great patient care.
And he's saying it warmly, you know, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's Tammy helps me go where I need to go.
No, she's got plenty of gifts. I mean, she is a leader, and we work out there with our staff every day. If they need us, we're out there helping them, and we learn a lot from them.
How many people come in to the emergency room on a daily basis?
In July, it was about 151 patients a day.
A day?
Yeah.
Wow. And Tammy, you're an RN, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How do they manage? How do you get the nurses? How do you make calm out of that chaos?
Oh, I think it's a lot of the people's personalities that work there. They're just made for that environment. And some of us thrive on that chaos, really.
Brad?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you have days where there might only be 120 patients, and then you have days where there's 180 patients, and how you provide that care doesn't change. We may be putting patients in our surge area, or we may be seeing them in the hallway close to where the physician is, just to try to make sure that we're seeing them and providing the care that they need that day.
We have a really resilient group, and they just adapt and handle any situation that's thrown at them.
That's good to hear. I read something the other day. It was a meme, or it was on the internet, but it was from somebody who'd been a first responder for a lot of years, and just gave us a good rundown of those many varied experiences, some very, very challenging as well. And it left me with the impression of, we take a lot of things for granted. When we think about first responders, great, get out there. We need you and we're proud of you. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? In terms of encouraging them, in terms of, helping them. Because like I asked earlier, are there some days when healthcare providers, especially after COVID or during COVID, have felt like, wow, this is too much. This is too much for me. I'm not coming back.
Yeah, we definitely saw during COVID that happen. Now, we have busy days and people go home exhausted and having days where they never want to have that day ever again. And the nice thing about the ER is every day is a little different. Yeah. You see different things. You learn different things. Your team, the reason we have, I think, a good team is they come back. They support each other and they come back. And we go, you're not going through it alone.
Tammy, I was up at Billings Clinic, sharing some good news that you guys have shared recently as well, and spoke with one of your providers and, talked about what a bonding experience it is to save people's lives. Maybe you could share that with us.
Oh, it's definitely, it's exciting for sure. I mean, nobody goes into healthcare to give bad care or have poor outcomes with their patients. So when you're given good care and doing a good job, it's very meaningful. And I just think the team approach to it is a pretty special thing to be a part of.
What gives you the strength to do this?
The people I work with.
Mm, nice. I'm picking that up from you too, Brad.
And the patients. We're there for the patient. I mean, I love people. I love meeting them every day. I love providing their care, and I like building a trust with them.
Brad Von Bergen is with us, Director of Emergency Services, and Tammy Grewell, too, a Clinical Coordinator, Emergency Department with Billings Clinic. Brad, what's it? And thank you guys for being here, too. 50 years, celebrating that. I'm still interested in all those changes because I think the miracles happen in emergency rooms, right? Not only miracles of medicine, but miracles of faith, too, for a lot of people, and hope in that regard. What's a day in the life like? As you said, it can be almost anything coming in at any time of the day. How do you get ready for that?
Yeah, it's you hope to go in and ease into your day. I mean, that's everybody goes in there and like, okay, let's just ease into the day. That's not always what happens because car crashes happen at all different kind times. People have heart attacks different times. So you just go in and you, as the patients start to come in, you get into your groove, and you have a great team that helps support you, our patient care techs, and work with our physicians to make sure our nurses have standing orders that they can get started and to help the care. But and then you'll get a level one trauma or a level one OR, and at that point, then it's like your focus is on that life. The patients that are there for, maybe it's not a life-threatening at that time emergency. The focus becomes on that one patient coming in, and so you'll get a team of people rushing into the room. Our focus is that 30 minutes where we have an opportunity to, give blood, to intubate, to do these things that will help save that person's life, and so you're and then soon as that's over, you're back to your other patients and you're going, and then a heart attack will come in or a stroke. And, you know, those time sensitive emergencies is what we call them. The ones that you have to, like, you know, there's not a lot of them, but they're the ones that you really have to put your focus on and get your team there together for. So, and then they're gone, and then you're back to everybody else.
Tammy, how long does it take to build a team?
When you have the right people, like a lot of our newer staff, I feel like they just kind of fall in, and, you know, everybody does a really good job of welcoming new people into our team. So I think it's just, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, you can't train it. If you're an ER person, if you're that kind of person that has that want and that desire to help people out in their worst of days, the only way it can happen is with teamwork. And so that it builds pretty fast.
You have to be pretty adaptable, because like Brad said, you walk in and you never know what your day is going to be like. It could be meh, or yeah. On fire.
Well, we talk about healthcare in Montana, and we're talking frontier rural type of healthcare. 33% of our population live in areas like that, and access has always been one of the issues that Montana tries to work on, and preventative care is another part of that as well, because if we have access issues, if we're out there good with preventative care, then we're doing good things for our healthcare patients out there, so to speak. Welcome back. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz back in the saddle, and glad to be here, and glad to have in studio a couple of guests. It's Brad Von Bergen. We're talking about healthcare again. He serves as the director of the emergency services for Billings Clinic. And do you know offhand how many clinics you guys have around?
Boy, I wish I could give you that.
This is Joe Sellier. He doesn't have a mic, and there's a reason for that. Okay, just kidding. Just kidding. Go ahead, Joe. How many clinics we have?
Clinics, actually, regionally, we've got, you know, Livingston.
Red Lodge. I mean, all right, just through that, I just want to real quick on that. And also, Tammy is with us. Tammy Gruwell, clinical coordinator with the emergency department. Brad there, several years, 3 decades. Tammy's got 2 going, too, so... You know, that experience helps, I imagine. Tammy, did that experience, well, not just you, but it sounds like your team has a lot of experience as well. You were recently recognized, you and your team, Billings Department, the Emergency Department, the Lantern Award. What's that?
Yes, it's an award through the Emergency Nurses Association. It's a pretty long application process. We submitted 52 pages of what I like to call us bragging about the great care that we give every day. There's a lot of quality standards that have to be met to achieve that, and we did receive that this year, so we were pretty excited about that. We're the first hospital or emergency department in Montana to receive it, and so it was a big...
Really? That's a huge thing, yeah. Then.
It was pretty exciting. We were pretty excited. It was just nice to boast about the great work that everybody does every day.
What did the staff feel when they were awarded this Lantern Award?
I think they were excited. I think they're pretty, I don't know, humble, I'd say.
Yes. And
they're, you know, just how they react to things. But we had a few of our staff were able to participate in the application process, which was great.
And then we'll be going, some of the team will be going to New Orleans to accept the award in September.
Yeah, we're taking the staff members that helped us.
It's really tough that you have to force somebody to do that.
I know.
And I'm staying back. Just yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Your hand didn't go up first on that?
You know, somebody's got to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
I told him he couldn't go.
No. Are you going, Tammy?
I am.
Oh, good. Well, congratulations, and enjoy that, too, because... you know, I wanted to ask you about that. This was a first, right?
Yes.
And Billings Clinic has also got some other firsts. You know, you had noted we don't have, it's not a huge population area, but there's a lot of things that apply for Montana in terms of firsts. The question I want to, you know, talk about that, but do you set operational goals foundationally and then achieve things? Or are you pretty specific about your operational goals to point to something like this?
Yeah, so Billings Clinic, one of our vision is to be innovative in our care. So Montana's growing, but we're still a rural state. We have a very large area of Montana that aren't within 50 miles of a trauma center or a big hospital that, excuse me. So our goals, when we set our goals, we first look at our quality. You know, we want to make sure that we're meeting all of our quality goals. We also look at growth goals to make sure that we're expanding our services and maintaining our services. And then, you know, we look at what's cutting edge, what is being done in other places that we could possibly do to help our patients, to help those in our in Yellowstone County and those outside Yellowstone County. So our roots go way back. So I'll just say, like, in 1972, we had a doctor that came from a bigger city, and he was a cardiologist, and he, with the support of the board of directors, he met with Western Ambulance Service. This is 1972. And they came up with the first mobile intensive care unit, which is where that ambulance would come and pick him up and an ICU nurse, and they would go to where this person's having chest pain or a heart attack, and they would provide care. And really, that was the first in Montana to develop that program. And it ended up in 77, I think, 76, 77. We were the first eight American Heart Association hospital to be certified to be able to provide that care. And that was really what started D-Care and is now MedFlight. So those first, it's somebody's got to be brave enough to say, hey, let's try it. Sometimes it doesn't work. But, you know, when it does work, it benefits our community.
Tammy, you had talked about there were examples that you provided for this Lantern Award of some great care. Without giving anything away, obviously, paint that picture for us. Is there, you know, patient, whatever, call him Joe, okay?
We use Joe a lot.
Not a mental health patient. I'm talking about a physical health patient here, okay?
So a lot of the examples we used were like our stroke times. Just we've done a lot of improvements in nurse-driven stroke alerts. And so our nurses are putting in orders, getting our patients to the CT scanner right away. Our stroke team is meeting them in the scanner, and they're going off to, if they need to go to IR for a thrombectomy, which is a clot removal from your brain, we need to get back to the room and start the TNKs, the clot busting medications, whatever we need to do. I mean, we have done a lot of work to reduce those times because time is brain, to get those times improved and get our patients care right away. We've done that through our chest pain center. And the work there, just like patients come in, we're getting EKGs, we're getting lab work, we're doing all these things. And whatever we can do to improve those times and responses is a lot of what we've put in that Lantern Award application.
And Brad, you're shaking your head. And you know, there's probably a lot of moments when you're watching your team work and you're very proud of them. Give us one or two of those that come to mind right now.
Yeah. So for me, it's we had a patient, she's been in the news, so she's allowed her name out there, but she was having a baby and was bleeding, and they were in a rural area 100 miles away, and the ambulance, they don't have blood in those areas, and so they this is a young lady as well, very young, and they called, and that just the communication that we had and the work that we had done to be able to resuscitate her, save her, it saved her life. And it was like that team came together. Our team was ready when she got there just because of the communication from the ambulance that was bringing her in. We had all the right blood products there ready to go as soon as she got there. And they started CPR just on the way in from Lockwood on this young lady. And because of that timing and what they did, it saved her life.
Yeah. Tammy,
that's great.
Yeah. I'm beginning to understand, again, you guys say it, but we don't get it until we get it, unfortunately, how valuable a minute is, or even a few seconds. Is there any, help us understand that, the value of time in the emergency department.
But there's the golden hour with trauma in Montana, in rural. We do. It's not possible because, you know, Terry, Montana, Culbertson, you know, all these places are really 2 hours outside of a trauma center, a place that can take you to the operating room and fix what's bleeding and mm-hmm. stop it. And so, but those minutes matter. I mean, there's studies that show the sooner that you can get the care started and done, the better the outcomes are. And you can, our goal in trauma, we have a level one trauma center, and their goal is to get that person back to the way they were before their unfortunate accident.
And I think our trauma team does a great job with outreach too, and helping those smaller communities be prepared to do what they can do to get whatever, you know, there are interventions that can be done in those areas that are beneficial to the patients. But I think that's helped with patient outcomes for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's technology out there too, that seems, especially in, I got 2 minutes. Thank you, Cody. I would just be blown away as to all the very, various aspects of medical care, right? And it seems like each one of those aspects, whether it's brain or heart or lungs or whatever, has a new discovery every other day. How do you keep up with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You have to have a team that's willing to look at the evidence and look at what's happening and build a program like our level one trauma program or like our comprehensive stroke program that looks at best practice and says, we can do this. And a hospital board of directors that says, yep, let's do this. And then you have to have people, our benefactors, who are donating their hard-earned money to help us do these things, because we couldn't do much without them. So all those things have to come together. And our stroke program is a great example of people that really... You see the difference when somebody gets like a clot buster, like they're or gets interventional radiology, something that really wasn't around Billings before three years ago, and now we're making a huge difference in people's lives. We're getting them back to a quality of life that they had before their stroke that wasn't really possible before.
Right, and that's one of the. But the grandest things I think of our new medicine is you're not just making people live again, you're making them well again too. That's very exciting. Delayed care. Yes, there's statistics about it. Uninsured rates have fallen. Almost 12% of adults skip care or delay care. And I think one of the things that we're learning here is that's not so good. That it's more expensive and it's harder to recover through those areas. So as we're talking, and Billings Clinic is with us in studio here, is Brad Von Bergen, who's director of the Emergency Services Expanding Department, as a matter of fact, right? Or so we got some renovations going on.
Yeah, we're looking at expanding our space by over 25%, adding 9,000 square feet, which will give us additional rooms for trauma and critical care patients. But it also allows us to do a little renovation and be able to provide care differently than we are now. That just will help us to see more patients more efficiently in the future.
Tammy Grewell, also in the studio here, registered nurse and the clinical coordinator for the emergency department. You guys don't need more space up there.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yes.
I'm really excited about the vertical care area that we're going to implement. And like we were visiting about before, just not just about space, it's about improving processes too, to give patients better care. Right now we have to get a little creative with some, we call it our surge hallway, and nobody wants to be in a recliner in a chair. It doesn't always feel very private, but what we can do with vertical care, because not everybody necessarily needs to be in a bed. So we'll be able to see patients faster and more efficiently by creating this vertical care space.
It's got to be kind of a chore or difficult or challenge to plan something. Now, Trauma One recently, we were just up there for the new SICU unit, the surgical intensive care unit. It's got to be kind of a challenge to plan as you build these things, like an expansion for the ER, for new technology or what's going to come down the pipe that I need to make room for that I have no idea what it's going to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, fortunately, we had this will allow us to add another CAT scan in our department, which that's becoming kind of the gold standard for diagnosing things. And it gets used a lot and it's used by the whole hospital. So, excuse me, having that additional technology will help out. And then, yeah, looking ahead, ultrasounds and the different kinds of equipment that we're going to need in the future. We went and we traveled to some big emergency departments when we were planning this. It's nice because our staff was included in,
good.
Okay, how can we do this? How can we build this? And we went and looked at some ERs that do it very well and got ideas and of how to put it together so that it works for Billings Clinic and it works for our patients.
I was going to ask that question, Tammy. Did they come and ask your staff what works better? Did they ask the people who are actually working in the arena?
Yeah, I think that's really important on any process improvement. Yeah. We're out there helping, but our staff's out there every single day working through it. And anytime we're trying to implement a new process, we get it in front of our charge nurses, our physician group, and then our whole team at, you know, however we can get their input to make sure that we're not setting them up for failure.
Yeah.
Because they'll come to us and be like, this is not working.
Right. And we need it to work.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard the word process improvement and it made me automatically think of what preventative care is process improvement, so to speak. But it's the individual. It's not the industry. It's the individual's process improvement to kind of take responsibility for that. And I think the message is getting out there a little bit that, and I've shared it here too on a personal level. The more you take control of your own healthcare, the healthier you're going to be. That's the idea behind preventative care. And Brad, I'm curious because as an ER, it seems to be all reactive. But no, you guys are out there messaging some preventative care for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. A healthier community is good for many reasons. Less strain on the medical system, but preventative care, like I wish everybody would take a little bit of be proactive in their healthcare and learn a little bit more about it. Our busy lives, some people just don't have the time, but preventing things like high blood pressure and you know, all the things that could cause strokes and heart attacks is super important for people to start those early in their life and be proactive. And then, you know, then we have our trauma program, which goes out and teaches kids about injury prevention and, you know, the important things that they can do to prevent themselves from being a statistic and being a trauma patient. And then they go to older folks and they help with the stepping on and to prevent falls in patients. So we will take care of you. You come to us, we'll take care of you. But really, we want you to be as healthy as possible.
What kind of questions do patients have then? I'm hoping they're asking more questions, Tammy, as the clinical coordinator. What kind of job do the doctors and the nurses do? Whether, you know, they came in after an emergency, but you want to send them off with some preventative ideation, I presume. What are they asking? How receptive are they?
Patients are pretty receptive to most of the instruction that we give.
For a while, anyway, yeah.
It's just hard because most of the time what we're doing is after, you know, an emergent visit need. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So just talking to patients a little bit more about, you know, earlier symptoms, like noticing those early on, getting care sooner, helping them navigate follow-up and, you know, and then or establishing a primary care. I know our case managers help patients establish a primary care if they don't have one, which I think is a great resource to have, and just and encouraging that follow-up with on the outpatient basis.
Talk about how much money it can save, because, and then I'm going to roll in a question about the cost of healthcare. Four in 10 Americans, struggle for the affordability of it. And I know as an industry, that's something that's right up there at the top of things you want to concern yourself with. How much money can preventative medicine save?
Oh, it billions. I mean, truly, I feel like the emergency department, we are going to see somebody when they come in. EMTALA, it's a Ronald Reagan era law that was put in place that we can't ask insurance reasons. You know, we have to provide a medical screening exam in any treatment, life-saving treatment to that patient without consideration of their insurance. And we do that. We take that to heart. We don't ask for insurance until they've been treated. And, you know, you don't want that to skew how you're going to provide the care to the patient. But emergency care is expensive. And people can't afford insurance. They can't afford the care. They can't, you know, and those things are super important. So trying to make insurance affordable for patients and for those, you know, you don't always need it. But when you do, boy, it's sure nice to have. And then the preventative part of insurance and having a primary care doctor that can go over preventative things. Many people, if they don't need to see a doctor, they don't see a doctor. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have those annual exams because they can find things that are wrong early, and then that treatment, early treatment, can prevent it from becoming something much worse. So having a relationship with a physician, a primary care provider, is an important thing, and having those annual checks. And, you know, for men, you know, the prostate, for women, breast cancer, and there's just so much out there that we can do to catch those things before it really gets expensive to take care of you.
You know, in when we talk about preventative care, you have to have a certain amount of trust, you know, in the healthcare system, right? And I know some people have expressed they've lost some trust in the healthcare system. I've expressed it as well. How important is that? Or what kind of hurdle is that now? How real is it? And how is the medical industry approaching it?
Yeah, I mean, having trust with the person that's providing you care is super important. And one of the things I love about my job is going in to a patient's room and building trust within 30 seconds.
Right.
And that's why you just listen to them. Yeah. Maybe you touch them, but you acknowledge them. And you've already built a little bit of trust there. I think the trust needs to come, like, trust with your primary care provider. Trust that you're going to have going forward, not all in the emergency department. That's just one aspect, and it's not a very huge aspect of healthcare. I mean, you got to be able to trust that you're getting, that when you come in, you're going to get the best care ever. I mean, that's important. But some of the trust that was broken during 2020, 2021, we'll rebuild that. We're seeing things where it's being rebuilt. But those things are, you know, it's those take time. Those are kind of cultural shifts that we have to, you know, we have to navigate.
Yeah. So you see an opportunity here to take advantage of it, or not to manipulate it, but to read into it and work into it in that regard. How big is it for you, Tammy?
Oh, patient trust. I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, just even having been a patient, you want to be able to trust the people that are taking care of you. And like Brad said, I think our team does a pretty good job of going in and you're establishing that relationship in a short amount of time with the patients that you're taking care of. And just remembering, like, people are coming in for their emergency and it's an emergency to them. And sometimes we might not see it that way, but treating everybody like you're here for the emergency that you're having right now. How can I give you the best care possible?
Is it now, that sounds like it's a Billings Clinic, you know, format or way of doing things. Is the industry, are other healthcare providers out there in other hospitals, is the industry concerned about it, Brad, and addressing it?
I hope so. I mean, I think that all healthcare should work to build trust with their patients. I mean, that to me is foundational to good care, whether it's preventative or acute care based on need. It's vital.
Time flies. I got to save a couple of minutes here because I want to ask about mental health care as well. And they want to come back and talk about a bullet and a career choice. But mental health care, where are we at with that? Anybody want to take that? Especially in the ER. I'm thinking of you, Tammy, because I'm thinking, you know, as a clinical coordinator, your providers are going to be the first to recognize some need potentially for that. Is the coordination getting better? Are the services getting better? It's a concern.
Yeah, I think we're doing a lot, especially recently with some work we're doing on our patient progression at Billings Clinic, that we're working to improve our mental health care. I mean, we are the front door for all mental health services, well, not outpatient, but for emergent mental health services for our community. Everybody comes to Billings Clinic for mental health crisis. So we've done a lot of work to improve on that care. Our goal is to just provide a safe environment for people and make sure that they're medically okay. And then we pull in our psychiatric team to evaluate their mental health crisis.
Resources, though, we've seen a degradation or a fallback in community resources. And that's been a little bit sad, and I hope we get some of those back. I know this last Montana legislature slated some funds to go towards that. And, you know, will it be enough? Probably not. But we've got to do something, because it is not a problem that's getting smaller.
Right. It's being recognized by policymakers, and that's an important start, too. Just a few more questions here in studios. We wrap it up with it's Brad Von Bergen, Director of Emergency Services, and Tamara Gruwell. Tammy Gruwell is a clinical coordinator. Brad, you were telling a story earlier about why you got into the business. Tim, I'm going to ask you the question, too. It probably doesn't involve maybe as much as Brad does, but talk about that experience and then what that led you to.
Yeah, so my previous life, before I got into the medical field, I was, you know, floundering, didn't know what I was going to do. And I was celebrating a friend's birthday at Grandma's in Billings, and ended up that there was a fight, and I tried to get the gun away and ended up getting shot in the chest, taken to Deaconess at the time, now Billings Clinic, and they saved my life. And that changed the trajectory of my life to where I wanted to help people the way I was helped.
Thank you for that. Thanks for sharing that, too. Nothing like that for you, huh, Tammy?
No, my mom had been a nurse, and so I'd always heard stories from when she was taking care of babies. Always thought that's what I was going to do. And then I actually saw an article about our forensic nursing program in the paper before I went to nursing school, and that really piqued my interest. And so when I started looking for jobs, I applied in the emergency department and have just been there ever since.
Thank you both for what you do. I appreciate that. And for coming on today. Good conversation. Look forward to not seeing you.
Yeah.
In the emergency department.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No, thank
Please
you.
Don't.
Take care. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.